As we wrap up spooky season, I wanted to bring a throwback for our Halloween episode with Layla Morgan Wild. This interview was 2 years ago at Halloween. We talked all about black cats and witches and all the spooky things. So I'm going to replay this episode for you. It was such an incredible episode. If you're not familiar, Layla Morgan Wild is a holistic cat expert. She founded the blog Cat Wisdom 101 and also started the nonprofit initiative Black Cats Tell All in 2016 to promote black cat adoption and to kind of show us that black cats are not the bad luck we've been told that they were. So I'm going to give you the best parts of that episode with Layla Morgan Wild all around spooky season and black cats and witches and stuff. I hope you enjoy it. We will be back next week with another incredible interview. Until then, happy Halloween. Like I was telling you before, I am so fascinated by this, and I have been doing a little bit of research on it. But yeah, we're just going to start with, we're just going to have like a fun little chat today and start with how black cats became a symbol of Halloween.
Well, a few things actually, but I do want to just share. I don't know if you're aware, but Halloween now is probably the biggest holiday after Christmas. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. So we didn't get to doing this huge interest, you know, the way that we're decorating. I mean, you know, look at my little altar behind me. You know, I didn't always do that a few years ago. So if we want to delve right into the roots, I think there isn't just one. So you're asking kind of a, you know, because of all the mythology, you know, mm-hmm. some say, oh, it's the Egyptians, and it could be the ancient Greeks, and it could be, you know, going back to the witch hunt during the Middle Ages. But if we want to get into myth, the origin of the familiar, the magical assistant, if you will, to a witch would go back to the Greek myth of Hecate. So she is the goddess, the Greek goddess of the moon and magic. And so so that particular story where, you know, one thing shape-shifted into another thing. So the servant got shape-shifted into a black cat, and then that became Hecate's familiar. So that's kind of the roots of that. But it's a lot more complicated. Then we bring in the whole witches in terms of the Middle Ages. Can I read you a short paragraph from my book that actually explains it?
Absolutely. I would love that.
Let me just quickly do this because a lot of people don't know because there's so much wrong information. So this is from my book, Black Cats Tell All. And so this is, yeah, so honestly, this is the fact, not the myth, not the fiction, not the fantasy. And so we can trace back the origins of black cat superstitions to the 13th of June, 1233. So at that time, there was the Pope Gregory the Ninth, and he issued a papal bull. That's an official church document, and it was titled The Vox in Rama. And in it, it declared that black cats were an incarnation of Satan. And anyone possessing a black cat then could be associated with devil worship and witchcraft. So this public, formal, from the church decree that marked the beginning not only of the Inquisition, that's that whole church sanctioned heretic and witch hunts, and this was actually and the directly right after that this, and I don't remember if he was actually a friend or he was some kind of associate, because remember, in terms of the Catholic Church, There was always a big financial or commercial aspect, including the whole witch hunt, which we could get into later. But anyway, so he appointed a formal inquisitor, so kind of a heretic or witch hunter. And so he was a German fellow, Conrad von Marburg. So he's a priest. And his job was to, quell the growing numbers of the Cathars. That was a Christian sect, which were considered heretics. And so he's the guy, Marburg, discovered this cult in Germany, and they were called the Luciferians. And that was kind of like, from there, it just kind of spread like wildfire, as, you know, kind of like bad news does, or, you know, when there's fear and all of that. So basically, we can blame the Catholic Church. Yeah.
Yeah, I read about that when I was doing a little bit of research for today's episode as well. And it was really interesting because it started, like you said, with this decree on black cats being basically the devil incarnate, right? And like this massive game of telephone throughout the Catholic Church, to where all of these men who were going out and killing all of these black cats, they just kind of started killing all cats because this, you know, game of telephone was just getting distorted what they were actually to do.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, mostly women, again, not exclusively women, but again, any kind of stereotype of, let's say, a woman that was single, older, maybe they kept cats, but, you know, familiars can be dogs as well, particularly black dogs. But, you know, if you look at the tradition before we had you know, doctors, physicians, the way that we do now, the wise women, the herbalists, the healers, they were usually the woman kind of the village, a healer. And those were the first ones that would be targeted because they had the magic. They had the ability to heal. They had the ability to, you know, do something that was separate from the church. They didn't need an intermediary of a church. They could go directly to source. And that's a whole other thing in terms of, you know, the whole women and empowerment and or lack thereof.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I think, you know, I think that ties in so much with the idea of witches, right? The way that the society we live in stereotypes witches. And what got me so interested in this was actually a question that Jay from the Two Crazy Cat Ladies asked me a couple of years ago now. And she we were just talking about, why is it so taboo in society to be a crazy cat lady, right? And I really started thinking about it. And I really, like, that's where my heart went, was to when they just started the Salem witch, or, you know, the witch trials, and the Catholic Church really going after quote unquote witches, which were, you know, any woman really.
Exactly. I'm not going to, you know, target the Catholic Church specifically, sure, because then very closely after, you know, during this time, then of course we had the Lutherans and then the Protestants, and it was actually the Protestants or the Pilgrims, right, that came across the ocean to settle in the U.S. So again, whether it's Catholic or Protestant or whatever, but you know, the stuff that happened with Salem and the witch hunt here was kind of really limited. It's kind of amazing how in different parts of Europe and the UK as well, we had, you know, formal witch hunts and all of that. How it just spread in our culture from a very small isolated incident is kind of interesting as well. And again, where does anything come from in terms of a superstition? Or it comes from the fear of the unknown. It comes from, something that we're maybe afraid of, and we're afraid of it because maybe we don't know anything about it, right? So, but I just find it so fascinating that we have the superstition. But if you look back culturally, it wasn't even in this country. It was kind of still a double-edged sword because, you can look at old Halloween costumes going back to like the 1920s, and it was a lot more lighthearted then, and then it turned darker and darker, probably in the maybe the 60s and the 70s, where we have really that stereotypical, arch black cat and the glowing red eyes and that kind of really that more evil looking thing.
I did want to, I felt called to say this, and I don't talk about this. I have not talked about this at all on my podcast. In fact, the only place I have talked about it is on my Patreon because I have a very safe sp space there with my Patreon family. But I know that you will know exactly what I'm talking about. I have had my remaining black cat. His name is Romeo. I've had a lot of issues with him. And I've talked to quite a few animal communicators who have tapped into him, and professional readings and people on Clubhouse, and they all say the same thing, that pretty much that he chose me, and that he was very special in a past life. One person even said he was a king in a past life. And he just expects to be waited on hand and foot, basically.
Yes, but tell me, so then, what are the issues?
Well, he started spraying a number of years ago, and I've been managing that. I was not managing it well at first, let me tell you. I had many, many nights where I was just bawling in tears, cleaning up, because I'm like, I don't understand why are we continue, after many, many vet visits and constant blood panels and all the things that my Western brain, right, says to do. And we're managing very, very well, actually, with positive reinforcement. He gets a treat when he goes and uses the litter box, so we're doing very well with that. But he is a bully to my female cat, and that's basically what a lot of the animal community, the first one that I, professional that I hired, she was the first one to tell me he just doesn't like female cats, like, period, full stop, end of story. So we've been working on that a lot lately.
Did you try the flower essences?
I've tried flower as a few. I haven't gotten the brand. What green something that you
Honestly, try
recommend?
it. They're really awesome. But I can definitely also suggest a few other things. The thing when there is that kind of hierarchy, because usually in a multi-cat household, it's going to be the female cat that rules the roost. So if you have a male cat like Romeo who doesn't want that, that is going to create the issue. But I think is he still spraying?
Very rarely,
Okay, good.
very, very rarely. And what's really interesting to me is that everything about this contradicts what my Western brain knows, right? My don't assign human emotions to your animals, and cats never do anything out of spite, or you know what I mean? Like, that's how.
Exactly. They're not jealous. They're not,
Right. That's how our
all that.
Western brain thinks. And when I really put it into perspective with everything the animal communicators and energy healers have told me, it makes so much. When I'm not paying attention to him in as quick a fashion as he likes, he walks over to wherever I am and he will spray. And this is very, very rare because I really wait on him hand and foot, let me tell you. But he does get very like antsy with me sometimes, and like I said, my Western brain is like, I'm assigning a human emotion to him, but
the other part of me, the more like energy, we're one, I feel you kind of part of me is like, no, I'm not addressing his needs in as quick a fashion or maybe even the appropriate fashion that he's expecting me to.
But have you just asked him, like, you know, in that particular instance, like, what do you want?
Yeah, so my issue really, it's me. I talk to him a lot and I explain things to him a lot, but I have a hard time hearing him. You know what I mean? Like that's the part of myself I'm trying to work on.
Okay. Yeah. You know, because I think you were probably in one of the rooms where I was talking about my cat Nunu, who was a hoarder rescue with one eye and was very traumatized. And I could not, it would be like tuning into a radio station and it's all like rattly. And I couldn't listen to her to hear what she was saying. And it was only when there was one animal communicator that finally got through, she had a hard time getting through to her. And she's probably worked on 20,000 cats in her life. And she go, oh boy. Like, and so she explained everything. And once that happened, then I was able to kind of fine tune like to the radio station where she was. And then the person I'm actually, you know, cause I have this amazing panel of animal communicators at my room on Monday. And so I've been working with one of them and we have really made big progress. So I'm able now to communicate with her in a way that I couldn't. I needed that kind of conduit. And so maybe that's also for you. And again, I can't explain exactly how it happened, but we can certainly talk about this another day. Sure. So for you to just fine tune that kind of, you know, because again, everyone will take in that information, you know, is it verbal, is it auditory, you know, kinesthetic or what have you.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't thought much about that.
Something to explore. It's just, you know, it never ends. You know, everyone who does, you know, behavioral work or training or animal communication, whatever, I think we're just always learning. And for me, it's just, I just stay wide open. Even if when I think, that's the way it always works. That's, you know, that's worked in the past. That's really a good, you know, protocol. And then something will happen out of the blue and it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Cord cutting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so why not? Exactly. I mean, cats are an incredible energetic beings. I mean, and then when you have a cat like Romeo, who's, you know, he's a very special energetic being, right?
So, yes.
And that's why he's sensitive to you know, how is he when you just pet him? Does he have like any favorite spots?
He does. He really, surprisingly, like right on the top of his head and under his chin are his absolute favorites. He doesn't like me touching his tail at all. That's his sensitive spot.
Anywhere, sure. Like the base of the tail or the tip of the tail, anywhere in particular?
Mostly the base of the tail, yeah.
Yeah, but you know there's a chakra there.
Yeah, so he might need
chakra balancing. Balance. Oh, you know what I've been doing lately? Do you ever work with any of the, binaural frequencies, the Rife frequencies? So these are sound frequencies that some people will add music to it, to the sounds, and they are amazing. Mm-hmm. So there are ones even for balancing chakras. There are ones for specifically for pets, but I will often just play just regular ones, whether it might be just something for calming, let's say, any kind of physical issue. Like I had a headache the other day, so I put that on, and they work really well, and animals are actually quite responsive to them. Now, ideally for humans, you've got your headphone on, because it is kind of left brain, right brain, for the hearing.
Oh,
But
interesting.
even without, obviously our dogs and cats are not gonna wear headphones, but even if it's just playing in the background, that might be something to explore as well. And I'm just feeling there's like something really off with his base chakra into the first to the second, which would also be, of course, the urinary bladder,
Interesting.
all of that.
Interesting.
So worth a try, absolutely. You can just
Yeah,
go and
definitely.
Google on YouTube. They're great, it's free. Chakra balancing, whatever. The colors usually will go on and they'll shift or whatever. You can look at them or not look at them, it doesn't matter, because it's just going to be about the sound. It's worth a shot.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do that for myself lately too. So I'm very in. We could do it together.
Yeah, you could absolutely do it together, and just notice his body language. Notice, particularly the tail. Notice if there's something, a little twitching, a little whatever. And also notice, of course, the ears, but particularly, I think, the whiskers. So just notice how he's sitting, or lying down, and just really notice the when it goes from, let's say, one chakra to another, there'll usually be a little bit of a beat, a pause. So you'll know, if you're not actually watching the screen, you'll know it's gone, from base chakra to sacral, and so on. Boy, I'm really curious to see how that might be a good just an adjunct, whatever. You can't fake a mood or a tone or whatever, and particularly if you're remotely intuitive, as we certainly are. Like, I know when someone's either, well, not just I'm not only am I able to read their emotions, are they feeling anxious? Are they feeling whatever? But I'll know if they're lying. I'll know if that they're just being evasive or what have you, because
You can hear it.
you can
You can
hear
hear
it.
it. Yeah.
And that's why, you can leave the most beautiful comment on Instagram. You don't know what that person's thinking, not
Right.
even
That's
remotely.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Make sure that you're following the show so you never miss an episode. And please take a moment to rate the show on your podcast app. I'd also love it if you'd share this podcast with your friends and family so that they can benefit from the information to help their pets live long, happy lives too. Don't forget to take advantage of this special discount as a listener today and get access to over 100 online videos and my online dog training, The Furry Family Coach. Just go to thefurryfamilycoach.com and use code PODCAST at checkout to get your first month for only $7. That's thefurryfamilycoach.com and use code PODCAST at checkout to get your first month for only $7. I can't wait to have you join and see you on the inside.
Oh, oh.